I would invite you to turn with me in the Pew Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning at verse 14, and hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, the title of my sermon for this morning is up on the screen. And what I'd like you to do is to take a look at it and then to turn to someone near you and tell them what you think it says. So just take a moment and do that. Now, those letters form a word puzzle, and this puzzle changes meaning depending on where you put the spaces. And perhaps some of you look at that puzzle this morning, and to you it says, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. You know, there are times as we live in this world that it seems as though God is nowhere. When I was in seminary, I served for a year and a half as a chaplain intern at the Children's Medical Center in Dayton, Ohio. And weekdays when I was there, I visited children and their families. Some days I would be on the cancer ward. I'd put on the mask and the gown and the gloves and go in and play games with the children. And there were other days when I would visit families that were waiting for a child in surgery or perhaps in the intensive care unit. And then still other days, I'd visit the young adult unit where kids in their teens and early 20s would be regularly treated for cystic fibrosis. It was in that young adult unit that shortly after I started there, I became friends with Brenda. Brenda was 16 when we met. She was about 4'10" and weighed about 85 pounds. And she always wore a flannel shirt and blue jeans. She was an avid Cincinnati Reds fan and could always be seen wearing a Reds cap pulled down over her long dark hair. Now, in spite of battling cystic fibrosis all her life, Brenda always had a smile on her face. And she loved to tease the hospital staff, including me. Some of the nurses and therapists in that unit had taken care of Brenda since she was a very small child. She and her mom were like family to those of us that worked there. Well, it was late one Saturday night when I was the student on call that my pager went off. And when I called into the hospital, the operator told me that it was in the young adult unit. And soon I discovered that Brenda was there and she had taken a turn for the worse. They didn't think she would make it through the night, and she asked if I could come and be with her. When I got there, Brenda was struggling for every breath. Her mom was on one side of her bed holding her hand, her doctor on the other side trying to bring her some relief, and there was nothing more they could do. Brenda had lived longer than many young people with her disease at that time. When she saw me, she reached out and took my hand and asked me to say a prayer. And I don't remember my prayer. I don't remember how long I was there that night, although it seemed a very, very long time. But I vividly recall the moment of her death and how silent the room suddenly became after her painful, labored breathing stopped. And I remember, too, how everyone started to cry. Her mother, the doctors, nurses, and housekeeping staff. Now, at the age of 23, as a chaplain intern, I thought that I must have something to say. But there were no words. It just seemed so unfair. And to me that night, it seemed that God is nowhere. Now, maybe there have been moments like that for you. I know there's been a lot going on in your lives and that a lot of it is difficult. And there's been a lot going on in our world as well. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. And many people around us live as if God is nowhere. More and more people, when asked about their religious affiliation, check the box that's marked none. For many, Christmas is nothing more than bright lights and celebrations and packages tied in neat bows. It's all about the latest toys and gadgets. The big event this season seems to be the release of the new Star Wars movie. And the Christ child, if he is remembered at all, is seen as the main character in a nice story that happened long ago in a galaxy far, far away. God is nowhere. To the people of Judah who first heard these words from the prophet Jeremiah, it seemed that God is nowhere. Jeremiah lived 600 years before Christ. He was born in a time when the people of Judah had turned away from God. And most of the book of Jeremiah up till this point contains warning after warning from the prophet. He calls the people of God to turn back to God or they will be destroyed. But the people refuse to listen. They torment and persecute Jeremiah to the point that later he would become known as the weeping prophet. Then finally, as God had promised, the mighty Babylonian army invaded Judah. And the people were taken captive, many of them dragged into a foreign land as exiles. And one of the greatest tragedies of the Babylonian exile was that it meant the end of the Davidic dynasty. For almost 400 years, descendants of David had occupied the throne of Judah, and God had promised them that it would always be so. But now, the Babylonians destroyed David's city, burned Solomon's temple, and took David's heirs into exile. The promises of God seemed to have come to an end, and the people were thinking, God is nowhere. But here, in Jeremiah chapter 33, the prophet who for so long had preached fire and brimstone to the people brings a word of comfort. With the world as Jeremiah has known it, crumbling around him, he pushes the people of God to see a different future. He offers a bold vision. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, he says, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. Jeremiah sees what these refugees in their despair cannot see. He looks at our word puzzle and he puts the spaces in different places and he says to the people, look, God is now here. Now, twice in this passage, we read these three little words, sentences that begin with, in those days. Now, when I hear those words, in those days, I think of some older members of churches I have served over the years. And usually after using those three words, in those days, they point me back to some glorious time in the past. In those days, we only had three sets of clothes. We had our school clothes, our play clothes, and our church clothes. And we took a bath every Saturday night, whether we needed it or not, in those days. In those days, everybody went to church. It didn't matter what we did Saturday night or what the weather was like Sunday morning, we were there. And we had so many people in worship in those days that we had to tear down this wall to make more space for all of them. In those days, we read these three words in this passage and we can almost hear Jeremiah's congregation waxing nostalgic, longing for the good old days. But when Jeremiah declares in those days, he's not looking back, he's looking ahead. He's not longing for the way things used to be. He's anticipating how things will be because God is now here. God is now here. Now, historically, the Davidic line never returned to the throne in Jerusalem. So over time, passages like this were interpreted by the Hebrew people as pointing to a future time when an ideal king, a Messiah, would come. And for generations, the people looked forward to another descendant of David, one who will execute justice and righteousness, not just for Judah and Jerusalem, but for all people. And today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we read passages like this because we remember that in the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy was fulfilled. And we know that God is now here because we have a Savior whose name is Jesus. The word Advent means to draw near. And we come to the Lord's table today and we remember that in Jesus Christ, God has drawn near to us. And we also hear the invitation in this season that we might, in our lives, draw near to the Lord Jesus. Over these past few weeks, I have been especially aware of how often we get to hold joy and sorrow at the same time. 3 weeks ago, Betsy and I welcomed a new granddaughter into our family. Lila Evangeline is a great joy, and Grammy has pictures if you want to see them. And we so rejoice as a family in her birth. But at the same time, over these last few weeks, we've experienced some sorrow as we've walked with Betsy's mom through a number of very difficult things. Last Saturday, we celebrated the life of our beloved pastor, Don Kayampa, and the music and the loving fellowship to honor his life and ministry that day was such a great joy. And yet at the same time with his death, we feel sorrow. And we would love for him to still be here with us worshiping on this first Sunday of Advent. This past Wednesday night, the youth had the sleep out for the homeless. Some 50 of our youth made a bold witness to our community on behalf of those we so seldom hear from. And they raised more than $5,600, something like that. And we rejoice in that event. Its 24th year. But at the same time, we turn on the news and we experience sorrow knowing that more young adults, just over in the city of Harrisburg, have fallen victim to gun violence. Joy in one hand and sorrow in the other. Life brings us many experiences like that. And sometimes we feel the weight of sorrow so much that it seems to us that maybe God is nowhere. But friends, it's Advent. And we are not given to despair. Our Savior has come, and we are a people of hope. For we know that whatever circumstances life brings, we are not alone. God is now here. He's here. Even as we gather to worship together, He's here. We do not have to invoke His presence as if He's far removed somewhere in the heavens. He's here. And as we come together as His people, we enter into His presence. We seek to draw near to Him. My invitation to you in these busy days before Christmas is that you would make it your goal to be aware in every day that God is now here. And that in this world of joy and sorrow, you would always remember that God is never far away from any one of us. Over these past many years, I've often returned in my mind to that hospital room at the Children's Medical Center. And I've become aware that, in spite of evidence to the contrary that night, God was there. God was there in the faith of a 16-year-old who reached out her hand to a pastor and trusted that as her life ended, so she would enter a new, more glorious life with Jesus. And God was there in that loving hospital community of people that gave it their all to save her life, but when the time came, surrounded her with such love and such care. God was there. And so it continues to be for us, that the God revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ is now here, welcoming us to his table, calling us to open our hearts to him, and inviting us to walk every day in his presence. God is now here. Amen.